Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We come to the topic of daily devotion today. We've taken 5 weeks on giving, I think, really solid reasons to know this book is the Word of God. We've looked 2 weeks of prophecy. We looked at 1 week how evolution does not have a leg to stand on. We looked at the four Gospels and how even though they're a little bit different, that makes them even stronger evidence to be the truth. And we also took a look at what God himself says about his holy word. I like that one, especially in Psalm 119, where the psalmist prays, "The sum of thy word is truth." Remember what we said sum means? Sum. That Hebrew word could be translated sum, or head, or top, or chief. So what God is saying to us, he is saying the most important thing about this book is that you can know it is true. So knowing that reality about this book, what I'm trying to encourage all of you to do, if you're not already doing it, is to dig into this book every day and be blessed now and forever. So why should we do that? Well, when we think about knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, that means we have a relationship with God the Father. We have that relationship through Jesus. So what does it mean to have a relationship? Well, I see Jim and Eileen sitting next to each other, and I'm going to guess and say, I bet you guys have spoken to each other today before you're saying, no, Jim, I know you're just kidding me. But the point of it is, when you're in a relationship with each other, you communicate with each other. So what's going on between us and God? Well, God is speaking to us right through this book. So we open the book and let God speak to us. Then how do we respond back to God? We do so in prayer. So being in a relationship with God, we should be communicating both ways, and we do that through daily devotion. Daily devotion begins with opening the Word. Daily devotion continues as we respond back to God in prayer. God wants us to know that truly we are sinners. And even though, hey, we're the good guys, if you will. We're not that bad. But when we look at the standard for heaven, we find it written out in Matthew 5 where Jesus said, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I am not as perfect as God, and actually I know that you guys are not either. I know that none of you are because the Bible says, going to the A verse, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we know that we cannot meet the standard of God. Knowing that reality, that should make us sad, but also knowing that reality, we're like, dear God, now what can I do? We're thinking about Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost, and then the people who were in the crowd, they shouted to Peter and said, brothers, what shall we do? And what did Peter say? He said, repent, therefore, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So God wants us to, first of all, know that we are sinners and we can't fix it, and then to know that God has fixed it in Jesus Christ. Coming to, again, to daily devotion, the question here is, why is daily devotion necessary? Well, I believe that daily devotion is an essential characteristic of every true Christian life. Now, I can only speak for myself in a sense. I know in my life, since God brought me to Christ, I've been in the Word virtually every day. So that's my own experience. But there are other Bible passages that point in that direction too. For example, think about Jesus. He's 30 years old. He was baptized, and then the Bible tells us he was led out into the wilderness. He was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, and during that time, he did not eat. And then, at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to him, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus is the Son of God. He was hungry. He could have done it. Why didn't he do it? If he would have done it, he would have been relying upon himself and not his Father in heaven. God is saying to us, don't rely upon yourself, rely upon me, and I will help you. Jesus was setting that example for us. But what did Jesus say in response to the devil? He said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We have those words right here. Now, some people might say, well, wait a minute now, Pastor. I know I need bread for my body or some kind of food I need for my body. But when it comes to knowing Jesus and going to heaven, I know I'm a sinner. I know about what he did. And I know that God's going to let me into heaven, so I don't need this. But if we come to that conclusion, though, then we're saying, it's kind of like going back to Genesis chapter 3, where the devil was tempting Eve to eat from the tree, and she said, oh, no, we can't. On the day we eat from it, we'll surely die. And then what did the devil say back to her? Something like, did God really say that you'll die on the day that you eat from that tree? He was trying to put doubt into her mind that what he said was not really quite true. With this passage here, I mean, Jesus said it, man shall not live on bread alone. He's saying we cannot spiritually survive without bread. Now, if I told you you cannot physically survive without bread or some kind of food, you would understand that, correct? Because you've seen people. Now, this wasn't such a popular thing today, but I can think back like 20, 30 years ago, you'd have people standing up for a certain cause, and they would go on, what kind of a strike? Yeah, a hunger strike. So you might see someone, you know, just dwindle away down to almost nothing, and they're not willing to eat, they're not willing to eat, and after about a month or 6 weeks, hey, they are near death after that period of time. Jesus is basically saying here that we cannot survive spiritually without the nourishment of his holy word. I mean, this is our spiritual food. This is our soul food. He wants us to understand that is true. He says, man, shall not live on bread alone, and we could even say cannot live on bread alone, but we live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In the next passage I have here, also thinking about why is daily devotion necessary, in Colossians chapter 2 it says, think about the progression here. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith just as you were instructed. So first of all, God enables us to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and then we walk in him, or we live according to what Jesus has said. Think about the Great Commission. Jesus said, go therefore and baptize all nations in the name of the triune God and teach them everything I have commanded you. And teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In other words, teach them to do everything I have commanded you. So there's a proper progress here where God enables us to receive Christ as Savior, and then we begin to follow the ways of Christ. But how does it work, though, when you're a very small human being? You end up, first of all, begin by maybe rolling over is kind of a feat. The parents are so excited. Oh, she just rolled over. You know, let's take a movie or a picture. And then finally, the first step. And then finally, steps on his or her own. All these exciting things. But wouldn't it be unusual, though, if you had an adult that was really physically healthy in every way, but yet he was crawling into the church? It would just be so unusual. You would think, why is that person still crawling? I mean, he should get up. I mean, God's blessed him with a healthy body and good balance, and he could do it, but he's just not doing it. That would be so odd. God is saying to us, don't be spiritual infants. He is saying, we receive Christ, God has granted that, and then he is saying, it's important then to be firmly rooted. What are we rooted into? We are rooted into God's holy word. Maybe you've done some weed pulling in your yard recently. If you pull a weed that's a very immature weed that's about this big, doesn't take much, does it? You pull it right out. You know, some of those weeds, though, it's amazing how quick they grow. You can have a weed grow about this big in like a week or two. It's like, how did that happen? But then you try to grab the weed, it's like prickly. Maybe you need to get some gloves, need to take two hands. You need to rip it out because it's really hard to get out. What God wants for us is he wants us to be firmly rooted in his word. And what is this word about? This word is all about Jesus Christ. So to be firmly rooted in the word is to be rooted in Christ our Savior. And that way, when the sinful world in which we live, when the devil himself and when our own sinful nature tries to pull us away from Jesus Christ, hey, we are firmly rooted and they cannot pull us away. Even in the second reading today, Paul was saying that there are going to be people coming in within your midst who are going to try to deceive you. Even leaders are going to rise up trying to deceive you. Hey, someday I'm not going to be the pastor here at Bethlehem. That might not be for a lot of years yet. And I hope that God sends a really solid, wonderful, Bible-believing pastor here to be the pastor. But what I'd like to see happen to all of you is that you are so firmly rooted in the Word that even if you got like the worst pastor in the world, that you guys would be so strong in Christ and His Word that that pastor could not sway you in any other direction. And in fact, you would rise up and either convert the pastor or you would kick him out the door because you would say, this is important to us and this is what we want to hear and this is what we know is true. I mean, these are important things for this life and forever. Look at the next passage there in John chapter 8. Notice that Jesus was saying these things to Jews who had believed him. So it doesn't mean believing in him is always going to continue, but he says to those Jews who had believed him, he said, if you abide, what does it mean to abide? It means to remain, to continue. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Sometimes we might want to say, okay, disciples, that sounds like a super Christian. So I can just be a regular Christian. I don't have to abide in the Word of God. I'll just be a regular Christian. I'll just trust in Jesus, and it's all going to turn out fine. Well, understand that when the Bible uses the term disciple, it's really using the term Christian and disciple interchangeably. If you're a Christian, you're a disciple. If you're a disciple, you're a Christian. So what do disciples do? How do they show that they are disciples? They abide, they continue, they remain in this book. Because God uses this book to feed our souls, even as he uses bread to feed our bodies. What are some of the benefits? I'm going to let you look at them on your own primarily. You can see the list here that I put in the worship folder. You can also pick up a copy of my sermon. They're in the back, or you can pick it up on our church website as well. But A number of benefits from being in the Word of God. Again, I'll let you look at those on your own. What I want to do is jump ahead to some passages that I think are encouraging and hopefully will encourage all of us to either continue in daily devotion or begin doing a daily devotion. Going first of all to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Now, I'm looking for a show of hands here. How many of you would say that you have somewhat of a desire to have prosperity and success in your life? Okay, not everybody, but most of you. Well, when I talk about prosperity and success, no, I'm not necessarily talking about worldly prosperity and success. For example, everyone raise your hand here who is a millionaire. Well, no, don't. I'm just kidding. So we are spiritual millionaires, but maybe not millionaires, you know, on planet Earth. Maybe we are. I don't know. If you are, let's talk because we want to put an addition on our building over here. But when we talk about prosperity and success, so it doesn't mean that life will be easy. It doesn't mean that we'll have all that we want. We will certainly have all that we need, and God will just bless us in countless ways. He will prosper us. He will give us success. Through what steps is God promising those blessings? First of all, notice what it says here in Joshua 1. It says that these blessings come from meditating on his word day and night. Come next week, and I want to share with you a good way to meditate on God's word each day. And then some weeks after that, I want to talk about a wonderful way, to be able to meditate on God's word even at night. So those things are coming. We're not going to talk so much about them today, but it is important, though, you can see the key to prosperity and success, meditate on the word day and night. But thinking about the M verse with the children, my sheep listen to my voice. Can you see the connection? where when we listen to Jesus, we are hearing, not for the sake of hearing, but for the sake of understanding and then responding. So what does it say here? You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So God wants us to know it in order to put it into practice. We're not talking about know it, do it, and hope that you make it to heaven. That's not the idea. But rather, know you're a sinner, know that through Jesus Christ you have heaven, and then dig into that word and find out more about what it says, and then be excited that you are going to heaven and try to honor God with whatever that word says, and that will be best for you both now and forever. God wants us to understand these realities, and then he will grant his version of prosperity and success, whatever that might be. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. A wonderful section of the Psalms here in verses 1 through 3, it says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." Wouldn't we love that, to prosper in everything that we do? Again, we're not talking about it in a worldly way. We're talking about it according to what God knows is best about prosperity. So what should we avoid? Did you notice at the beginning of the psalm, it says that we should not walk, we should not stand, we should not sit in the counsel of the wicked. Do you see the progression there? Imagine you have some wicked people, and here they are in a group, and imagine that they're talking. And you have an opportunity to either walk over by them, or you could walk in some other direction. God is saying, don't even walk over by them. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Because by walking by, you're going to hear a little bit of what they say. So walking by is not good. God says, don't do it. If while you're walking by, you stop and you're standing there, that's even worse. Because now you're paying more attention to what they're saying, and that's not good. And then even worse yet is to go over and sit down with them and listen even more intently. God is saying, don't do that. God is saying when it comes to evil things, hey, be like an infant. Don't even know how that works, if you will. We don't need to know about that. Never be like the story I heard years ago. I don't even know what denomination it was, but it was some kind of a thing where the pastor said, I'm going to watch all like the R-rated and X-rated movies, and then I'll let you know which ones are okay to watch, which ones are not okay to watch. Isn't that utter foolishness? God is saying, you know, stay away from that stuff. You don't even know about it. You don't even need to know. There's enough wonderful things in life to know. Don't even go in that direction. So it's saying, don't do those things. And what does it say we should do? It says we should delight in the law of the Lord. So when we delight in something, like think about what your favorite food is. I'm getting hungry right now. I didn't have breakfast today. So I can think of a lot of different kinds of foods that would look really good right now and taste really good right now. So I'm delighting in them a little bit. I want them. I want to see them. I want to smell them. Is that enough? No, I want to eat them. So when we delight in something, you know, we want it. We have a passion for it. So God is saying, delight in my holy word. So to delight in it is to want to set aside a time each day where we're going to open it, we're going to read it, we're going to discuss it with our family, we're going to understand with the blessing of God, understand what it means, and then also put it into practice. So God is saying to delight in his word. And then once we delight in it, well, to meditate upon it day and night, that's how we show that we delight in it. Because I like a particular food, I eat it. Because I delight in the Word of God, I meditate upon it day and night. Can you see the connection? And then you can see the blessings there. They talk about a tree that is planted by water. So it's always nourished by the water. Its leaf does not wither. It produces its fruit in its season. Everything is wonderful with that tree. That's how God wants us to be as his forgiven children. Let me share with you here at the end a little bit about these two Lutheran daily devotions. Most of the members of Bethlehem are familiar with these. So we have a Portals of Prayer. Portals of Prayer, I believe, is celebrating their 75th anniversary. So they've been out, yeah, right there on the front, 75 years. So they've been out for a long time. Some of you have maybe read that for 75 years. We have Meditations also, too, here at Bethlehem. And Meditations is not produced by our church body, but is produced by the Wisconsin Lutheran Synod. So we have Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and then we have Wisconsin. Most churches would not bring in another church body's devotional into their church, but I've used Meditations myself for probably 5 years now, and I found Meditations to be really good. Sometimes Portals is good too. Here are some of the differences. So we have Missouri Synod, we have Wisconsin Synod. That's one difference. They are different in the Portals of Prayer. We have a different writer every month. Now with both booklets, they cover 3 months. In Portals, you have a different writer every month. In Meditations, you have a different writer every week. With Portals, sometimes you have pastors writing, sometimes you have lay people writing. When it comes to Meditations, you always have pastors who are writing the devotions. Each of them could be read as a standalone devotion on a single day. So on each day, you have a passage of Scripture, you have an explanation of that passage, and you have a prayer. So they're the same in that way. But with Portals, though, generally every day of Portals is by itself. So usually when you read Portals, it's not connected to the previous day, it's not connected to the day after. When it comes to Meditations is taking from Sunday through Saturday, they're taking one section of the Bible and they're looking at that section each day. So they're looking at a part of that section, they're digging into that section, helping us understand it, help us to see how it applies to our lives. Of course, you can see that with the size of the booklet, the printing is about the same size, so they're able to get more information into the Meditations booklet. I read both of them and find them to be beneficial. I was reading in Portals the other day. I'm just a couple of days ahead in my reading, and I wanted to share with you, they have a little section here on Psalm chapter 1. After I'd written the sermon, I thought, oh, this applies right to today. But what they're trying to do in this particular devotion is they're trying to make a comparison between people who are fans and then what it says in Psalm 1. You know how fans are today. You know, people who are fans, they're willing to wait in line all night to get tickets to see their particular person. They're willing to do all kinds of crazy things because they are fans. Well, it says here, we live in an age of fans. And then I jump down a little bit and it says, oddly, the way of the righteous is similar. So if we are righteous, we're kind of like a fan. Psalm 1 says that for the righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Day and night, think about this, day and night the righteous follow the instruction of the Lord, claim God as a friend. This is an interesting comment right here. Love his ways even though they don't enjoy them. And search out his guidance. Can we love God's ways even if we don't enjoy them? Think about that. We really, truly can. Because it is his way, we love it. Is it necessarily easy? Is it what we would choose? Maybe not. But it is his way, so we know it is best and we love it. And then it concludes this section by saying, that sounds like an obsessive fan, doesn't it? To do something day and night. You know, people would think, if you're in this book day and night, you must be some kind of a Jesus freak or something. You're some kind of a fan, aren't you? You're a fan of God. You're a fan of God's holy word. That would be a compliment for anyone to pay to us, wouldn't it? If we were in this book day and night. And then I wanted to share with you something interesting here in Meditations again. The one I read here comes up this Tuesday. And the one here in Meditations I wanted to share, actually it's a little section about what comes up tomorrow. But the title here is Hearts Made New by Grace. But it says, I didn't realize this before, maybe many of you did, but it says, when surgeons want to perform open heart surgery, they must first do something that is contrary to nature. They must stop a human heart from beating. One of the most difficult aspects of the surgery is not to restart the heart again, but to keep the heart from starting itself during the surgery. You see, the human heart knows only one thing: it must keep beating. So it is with the new heart God gave you. It wants to beat in tune with God. It has to beat. It desires to do what is pleasing and good to God. So I thought that was an interesting application there. Now that I've mentioned the daily devotions, we have a problem in that there's maybe one or two left in the back, if even that. There might not be any. So I apologize for that. But with the portals, the portals don't come out until October. So we have the new meditations. So actually this one ends on August 25th. So probably even next week we'll put out the new ones. We should have put them out today, but we'll try to put these out next week. And I invite all of you to pick one up. It's an excellent devotional. You can read one page. It's only one page a day. It takes you a minute or two to read it. There are some additional prayers in the back as well if you want to use them. Portals will not be out for about six more weeks yet. But if you have one, make sure you make use of it. And there might be a one or two in the back. With all of that said, I'm just trying to emphasize, hey, this book is the Word of God. This book says we're sinners. This book says that though none of us deserve it, we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. By this book, we are saved because it's all about Jesus. And by this book and our Lord Jesus, that is what will keep us in Christ until finally we are in heaven. If you have a practice of daily devotion already, I praise God for that. If you don't, try to get one of these books before they're gone. It'll be a race to the narthex after the service. And if you don't get one today, come back next week. We'll have these out. And even if you don't get a book, just open the Word of God somewhere and read it in a serious way, and God will show you what it means. God will show you how even this book, written a long time ago, is still relevant to our lives today. May God assure you that in Christ you are forgiven, and may God richly bless you as you meditate upon His Word day and night. And all God's people said, Amen.